Good evening, everybody. I'm Chuck Mingo, and if we haven't met before, I'm the campus pastor of Crossroads Oakley, and whether you're in this room joining us or if you're joining us via streaming online, I just want to thank you for being here tonight. You know, we often say around here as we welcome people that we're glad you're here, but I really want you to know how meaningful those words are to me tonight. I am really glad that you're here. I'm really glad that in an evening where we had a service planned and had a different thing going that, you know, once the video was released and once we recognized the impact that was having on our city, we changed those plans and we put the word out. And so we invited people who are here. Some of you, you may never have been to Crossroads before, but you heard about this, heard this was happening, and you just wanted to come and process. I just want to say, I'm glad you're here, because you being here tonight says that you believe that God has something good for our city, that God actually can heal. And so tonight, together, we want to begin to process what happened. We want to grieve. We want to pray for our city, and we want to hope for our city together. And so I just want to thank you for being a part of that tonight. It means a lot for all of us that you would be a part of this with us. And so tonight, we don't really know all of what's going to happen. I mean, this is something that, like you, we're responding to in the moment. But what we do know is this. Tonight, we're going to offer ourselves to a God who heals and redeems and restores even the most broken realities in this world. And we're going to let him lead tonight. And so as we do that, one of the ways we're going to do that is through singing. And then I'm going to share a little bit later on. But as we sing, I just want to encourage you to sing these songs. Maybe some of these songs are familiar to you. Maybe you sing in places like this all the time. Or maybe they're brand new to you and a little bit foreign. And I just want you to know the reason that we gather tonight and we sing tonight is because for thousands of years and through all kinds of hardships and trials and difficulties, followers of Jesus have found incredible strength in singing words together about who God is, about his faithfulness, about the hope that we have in Jesus. And so tonight, we're leaning into those ancient pathways as we process what's going on in our city tonight. So I want to encourage you to sing with us tonight. And I want to encourage you that if you don't feel like you're in a place to sing, that's okay. Just let these words wash over you. But tonight, we want to offer ourselves up to God, and we want to receive what it is that he has for us. So I'm going to invite you guys to all stand, and I'm going to pray, and then we'll jump in. So God, I just want to pray that you would bless this night, that you would be the guide of this night. And for everyone who is here, I pray that they would just feel received by you and in this community wherever they are, whatever their emotions might be, as we sing together and as we process together and pray together in hope for our city. Amen.
Spirit, may thy trembling heart and God, that when I see the brokenness of my people, when I'm confronted with the sin of my land, I would have the reaction that your servant did, say, God, I'm one of these broken people. And I need you, and we need you. We need you to fill us and start with me. Let's sing in ourselves.
In ourselves we're full of weakness. Jesus, speak your word somehow. Cleanse and comfort, heal and teach us. Come, oh come and fill me now.
One more time in ourselves.
In ourselves we're full of weakness. Jesus, speak your word somehow. Cleanse and comfort, heal and teach us.
Everything that happens here tonight to be pleasing to you. I want it to be in order, as you say. I'm begging you, God, that through your people, you would fill our city. Fill us with your presence. I dream of a day when our city is a place where people are dying to come so that they can get hope and they can get you. They can get truth. This place be a place of refuge. God, we pray for our nation, that it would be a place that is filled with you. Make your people bold, God. Make your people bold. Make us dependent on your word, dependent on your spirit. Fill us, Lord. Let's sing it one more time. Fill me now.
Fill me now. Fill.
Shine your light into the dark.
Shine your light into the dark. Speak your truth into my heart. I give my heart to you.
Sing that again.
Open my eyes so I can see you. Open my ears so I can hear you. I give my heart to you. I want to know who you are. 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 Open my eyes. Open my eyes. So I can see.
So God, we're here, whether in Florence, Mason, Westside, Oakley, on viewing online, uptown, wherever we are, we're here because we are asking you to reveal yourself in a unique way today. And some of us maybe just walked in or are viewing online for the very first time and we're already noticing something about you or maybe already sensing something from you. Because when we are down, we are tending to drive towards something that's beyond what our visible eyes can see. And Father, our city is down. Those of us who are here are down for any number of different reasons. And we know that only you have an unending source of hope, an unending source of grace, an unending example of forgiveness, an unending and always perseverance of willing to keep going. And Father, we're asking for that for all who are here tonight and all who aren't here who are in our entire region. God, we know the prayer makes a difference, and we're asking that our prayers make a difference in our region and every single life. And God, give the gift, I pray, God, would you give the gift of showing all of us who you are tonight. Heal, God. Speak. Comfort. Instruct. Reprimand. Hold. Enlighten. I pray these things according to the person, character, and witness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh man, why don't you go ahead and have a seat? Although if you're watching streaming, you've been sitting the entire time. Would have been great if you could have gotten the energy up to come someplace, but you're there at home, that's wonderful. No, it is wonderful, it's awesome, it's wonderful. So hey, my name is Brian Tome, I'm the senior pastor here at Crossroads, and welcome to Terry Phillips and everybody in Florence, welcome to Mark Stetch and everybody in Mason, welcome to Greg McElfresh and everybody in Westside, welcome to Chuck Mingo and everybody in Oakley, welcome to Lena Tome and everybody in Crossroads Uptown, and again, welcome to all who are on streaming today. We have a pivotal moment in our region's history today. How is it that we respond to something that is difficult and is causing divisiveness, as it understandably does? you know, things in our city seem to be going okay, and then all of a sudden something happens. We realize, oh no, there's an issue. There's an issue in our city. And you'd have to really be clueless to not notice that there is an issue in our city amongst race relations. I think there's probably an issue in every city. I just don't know. I don't live there. But I do live here, and I do understand this in our city. Part of why I understand it and I grab onto it is because I'm a reader of the Bible, and the Bible teaches us very clearly that all relationships are broken and all relationships are at odds. Our relationship with God is at odds, and this causes our relationship with one another to be at odds. Our relationship with our mom, our dad, our neighbor, somebody who is of our same skin complexion, somebody who isn't of our same skin complexion. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says this: all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So this says that God is reconciling me relationally to him through Jesus, not counting my trespasses against my relationship with God, because Jesus has taken all my trespasses on his back on the cross. And as soon as I'm reconciled to God, guess what I'm about? I should be about reconciliation. Because I should be taking on other people's stuff and trying to draw them to God and draw them to myself. The most appropriate place for discussion to happen that's happening today and tonight is in a church. I don't know if you're going to get this discussion anywhere else. It's only within a church where we see the ultimate reconciler himself being Jesus and him knighting all of his reconcilers, all of his followers to be reconcilers. So who's up to tonight for being a reconciler? Who is? Who's up for being a reconciler? No matter what you think, no matter what you feel, you and I are called to be reconcilers even while we're struggling, even while we're hurting. So we're going to balance that today, going back and forth between I'm struggling, I'm hurting, I need hope, and I need to be about the ministry of reconciliation. And actually, the most qualified person, I think, to talk to us in time, in this time right now, is somebody who I know has a unique calling on his life for race relations, and I'm so thankful for it. His name is Chuck Mingo. You all know him in Oakley. He's the campus pastor of Oakley, and Oakley has a unique thing where Oakley is the most racially diverse site, and it only makes sense that he has a calling on his life. And so we're going to have Chuck speak to all of us in this. Why don't you welcome up Chuck? Come on up, Chuck. Come on up. Bring it up. Look at this shirt. This is like a white man's shirt right here. So? Like, yeah, it is.
I'm a reconciler.
You're a reconciler?
I'm a reconciler.
We all want to know, do you call me Whitey when I'm not around? I'm just kind of...
I do not call you Whitey when you're not around. I have other names for you, but not Whitey. That's not Whitey.
Actually, one of the blessings of being a good friend of Chuck is we have a great friendship. Yes. And we get to say to one another things that most people can't say to somebody else of a different race. Maybe they don't have genuine friendships with somebody of a different race, mm-hmm. or they haven't been sort of laboring together like you and I have to sort of have, I say stuff sometimes, and I know Chuck does as well. Mm-hmm. They go, I don't know if I could be, I wonder if he's going to punch me when I say this. You never have, thankfully. But it's a dialogue that's stretched me, at least myself, and I'm really excited to be able to share you with everybody here today.
Thank you, man. And me too. I mean, I honestly feel like I've grown so much from our honest conversations about this, and it really shapes and informs even how I look at this today. And that's the power of it. That's the power of real relationship in Christ, is that you can get beyond those differences and really grow together. So you've been a blessing to me on this too.
Excellent. Thanks. Yeah. Take us.
Awesome. Well, as Brian said, I just want to thank you for being with us tonight at all of our sites. I said this in Oakley earlier, but I want to say to Florence, to Mason, to Westside, it means a lot that you're here tonight. It really means a lot. If you're listening online, it means a lot that you would take the time to be with us tonight at a time when our city could easily be torn apart. In sites all around our city, there are people of different races, different social and economic backgrounds right now coming together, and we should thank God for that. We should thank God for that. And I know that we're also at different places emotionally. I am not over what happened today. I don't want to put on any airs that I'm over it. Like many of you, when I saw the video that was released by the prosecutor's office today, I had a range of emotions. And I just recognize that as I am sitting here processing this, you guys are processing this too. Sam DeBose lost his life. And just the loss of life alone is enough for us to grieve, regardless of the circumstances. Ray Tensing, his life and his family's life is forever changed because of what may have been a bad decision in a moment. I don't know him to know that, but I know that that choice has implications for him and for his future and for his family. And I grieve over that as well. And I know that in here tonight, there are people all across the range emotionally. You know, for some of us, and I just want to check in. This is something that I do when I'm in friendships with people. Just how are you really feeling? Like, no pretense, how are you really feeling? I know that people are across the range. I know that some of us are angry. We're angry because, sadly, events like what happened in our city are happening far too frequently, far too often, in far too many cities in our country. And I know some of us are angry about that. And I sit in that place. At points today, I've sat in that place. Some of us are frustrated. We're frustrated at what could be just a bad choice, and maybe we feel like this is being co-opted as a racial issue, and maybe it's just a power issue, or maybe it was a bad training issue, and it's a judicial issue, and I get that there are people who are just frustrated by what happened. Some of us were anxious. We're anxious because we know that in other cities, these kinds of things have led to civil unrest that has actually gone violent, and there have been other negative implications coming out of the one incident, and it just seems to have this multiplied effect. And though some of us sit in this place anxious, maybe you work downtown, and you were one of the people that had to clear out downtown today because of the anticipation of what would be the response of the public to the release of the video. You know, for others of us, you're just sad. There's just a sadness. There's a sadness around this. There's a grieving. And maybe this brings up even bigger questions for you about where is God in all of these things? How can this continue to happen? And maybe that's where you sit right now. And some of us are probably just numb. We don't know what to feel. We don't know how to process. Maybe we don't know why it's such a big deal, or maybe we don't know why anybody could think it isn't the biggest deal, and we're just kind of at places of being numb, and that's where we all are, and I just want to recognize that tonight, and I just want to say, tonight is about us feeling what we feel together. So I just want to honor you in whatever place that you're in. Where am I? Personally, I'm lamenting. I'm lamenting the loss of a life. I'm lamenting just the pain that is being caused right now in our city, and the potential division. I'm lamenting that. Guys, I'll be honest, if I didn't tell you that I've had moments when I watched that video of being fearful. And I know God is not the author of fear, and I'm not sitting in fear. I wouldn't be here if I was sitting in fear. But I want to tell you, it's easy for me to think about times when I've been pulled over by police officers, and it's easy for me to kind of put myself in that place should that happen in the future. And even more so, as a father of young brown boys, I'll tell you, it's more important for me, and I can think about times when my kids would be in that situation. I mean, I don't know if you do this or not, but my children will not be able to drive until they have a very specific training set from me, which is whenever you're pulled over, you keep your hands at 3 and 9 o'clock, you articulate very clearly to the officer what it is that you need to, you ask questions if you need to, and you follow his instructions to a T. You don't move your hand off of 3 or 9 unless he knows that you're about to do it and he knows why. And I know some of you don't have to train your kids on that. I do. And guys, I just tell you, that's how I'm feeling. I just want you to know where I'm at. I'm not. And if anything I say today, I'm sure I'll say some things today that are offensive to people across the spectrum. That is not my intention, but I want to just be honest about where I am. I'm thankful tonight that the evidence seems to be very clear on this one. I'm thankful that what I see, at least, is our justice system attempting to seek to right a wrong. And that's just honestly how I'm processing all of this tonight. And yes, I am angry. I am so angry. But you need to know, I am not angry at a person. I'm not angry at an officer. I'm not angry at a police force. I'm not angry at anything that has flesh and blood. If it's flesh and blood tonight, it is not my enemy. I'm angry at the real enemy that we all have in this. That's where my anger is. And as I've been thinking about what to say today, I couldn't get this verse off of my mind. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. And it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh." That means if it's flesh and blood, it's not our enemy. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. What does that word mean? We need to talk about this word strongholds, particularly in a context of people who are engaging in, or at least want to be open to, what God has to say about this. A stronghold, it's a military term, and it means a fortified place. It's a fortified area. You can think about places that have been that. You know, in D-Day, Normandy was a stronghold. That was a place we had to go against to have freedom and liberty in World War II. It's a fortified place. But in the spiritual sense, we also see this word being used by Paul here. And what he's talking about is there are beliefs and there are behaviors and there are systems of belief and systems of behavior that are meant to destroy your soul. And that is a stronghold. And that's a sin pattern that has deep roots, thought patterns that have deep roots, and they come from the evil one. You have an enemy tonight. Make no mistake about it. Wherever you land on this, there's an enemy that wants to steal, kill, divide, and destroy our city. His name is Satan. He is real, and he has strongholds in our city around fear, around race, racism, around respect for authority, around the abuse of power, and all of those things come together in this situation. I am pissed off at him tonight. That's where my anger lies. That's where my anger lies. Because I know what he wants this to be for our city, but I want you to know I'm standing here today, and I believe people around here are standing with me. I believe you're here tonight because you want to stand with me and say, Satan, in our city, your strongholds will not stand. And in our city, you've got a fight on your hands before we let this thing take over our city. That's what we say tonight. Boldly, clearly, and honestly, that's what we say tonight. With unorthodox weapons, like singing songs. With unorthodox weapons, like loving those who are different from us. Like unorthodox weapons, like hope. That's what we fight with tonight. And so I just want to give us three ways to respond. Three ways that I am personally processing right now, responding to this. And I believe they are unorthodox ways for us to respond to our real enemy and to the real battle that we're in. The first is this: we weep in sorrow together. We weep in sorrow together. There is a story in the Bible that shows up in the life of Jesus. And there's a couple times where Jesus shows really strong emotion. And there's a few times in the Bible where he weeps. And this is one of them. In Luke 19:41, it says this. It says, "And when he drew near and saw the city," in this case, the city of Jerusalem, "he wept over it." Can you imagine Jesus weeping over a city? See, the God that I believe in, the Jesus that I believe he weeps over things like this in our city. I think he weeps over things like this in our world. Because I see in the Bible, he had emotion for the brokenness in this world. There's two things that I would take away from this, and I just want to process this with you guys. First, it is okay to feel whatever it is that you're feeling tonight. I think that's really important. I think it's really important not to walk past any emotion that you feel. It is very healthy. If anybody's ever learned anything about a grieving process, you will only have to repeat the parts of the process you skip if you don't sit in that place of grieving. So if you're angry tonight, be angry. If you're sad, be sad. If you're frustrated, be frustrated. If you're fired up, be fired up. Wherever you are, it is okay to feel. And I think it's so important for us to feel, but to do that together. To do that together, to be able to be where we are on this in the context of community, and dare I say, a diverse community. It's really important for us to be able to process that. I had a conversation with a guy right before the service tonight, a good friend of mine, a growing friend of mine, and we were talking about this, and he came at it from a very different perspective than I did. And I told him afterwards, I said, it is so important for me to hear you. I need to hear where you're coming from on this. It is so important. I just thanked him for that. I need to hear that. I need to hear people who are in different places. It's okay to feel whatever you feel. And I want to tell you this, as people who love our city, and I believe you're here because you love our city. I believe whether you believe the Jesus thing I'm talking about or not, that you're a person who wants the best for our city, or else you wouldn't be here tonight. There are many other places that you could be tonight. I believe you love our city, and as that's the case, I want you to know we should always grieve about anything in our city that doesn't look like love and doesn't look like Jesus and doesn't look like freedom and doesn't look like hope. So crazy thing happened today where, and maybe some of you heard this, where Brian, within 2 minutes, found himself on the Bill Cunningham show in WLW. I mean, it was like this crazy thing. We're sitting there. We were about to actually shoot the video that was going out to many of you to say, hey, come tonight. We're going to have a night of hope. When all of a sudden he gets like a number handed to him. It's like, hey, Bill Cunningham, if you're available, you can get on the phone with him. He wants to talk to you. It's like, that's crazy. That's my friend, by the way. Brian Tome is my friend. Isn't that cool? Like, you know, they're friends in high places. And so and so he had a conversation with Bill. And what Brian said, I mean, I'm sure it's recorded. You need to go back and listen to it. Because his response to the question, why would God let something like this happen, was a response that is so appropriate for so many things. And it was very appropriate for today. And at the essence of that, what he basically said is, this world is broken. This world is broken, but we should not be okay with that brokenness. We should never make peace with the brokenness of this world. We should never make peace with any premature death in our city. No matter the circumstances, we should never be at peace with that. We should never make peace with any crime in our city. We should never make peace with any drug addiction in our city. We should never make peace with poverty in our city. We should never make peace with greed in our city. We should never make peace with materialism in our city. We should never make peace with division in our city. We shouldn't make peace with anything that is broken in our city. We should not be okay with that. We should weep sorrowfully together whenever we see brokenness in our city. But the thing that Jesus offers us is that even in the midst of our weeping, and again, stay where you are emotionally. I'm not asking anybody to go beyond where you are right now, but I want you to know, even as we weep with sorrow together, we anchor in hope together too. We anchor ourselves in hope together too. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. What Jesus has done for us in reconciling us to God and enabling us to be reconcilers with each other, that is our sure and steadfast hope. It's what Jesus has done that gives me hope for our city, even on dark days like this. And one of the most powerful definitions of hope that I've ever come across is from a man named Jim Stockdale. And Jim Stockdale was a Vietnam prisoner of war. And in a book called Good to Great, he's referenced as kind of defining hope this way. He says, you must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. And as Brian said, our city is hurting and our city is down. And the truth is, there are some brutal facts of our reality we have to face. I want you guys to know how I think about this is, you know why I'm not mad at an officer? I'm not mad at an officer who exists in the context of a system that has structural and systemic racism in it. So I'm not going to be mad at an individual when there's a system. There's a system and a structure that creates that environment. I'm not saying that that happens in every circumstance, but you need to know that is the environment. It's the brokenness of this world, but it goes back to strongholds. It goes back to a real enemy, and that's why I'm not mad at an officer, but I look at the structure and I look at the system and I say, I am not okay with that, and at the same time that I recognize that this world, these systems of the world are more broken than we think they are, I stand in bold hope that God is more powerful than the world is broken. God is more powerful than the world is broken. God is more powerful than our city is broken. God is more powerful, thank God, than I am broken. And I've seen his ability to overcome my brokenness. And that same God can overcome the brokenness at the systemic level and at the structural level and at the spiritual stronghold level. And that's why we have hope. That's why we can be anchored in hope tonight, even in the midst of recognizing that things are not as they should be. We're anchored in hope because he who is seated on the throne, as it says in Revelation 21:5, says, I am making all things new. That's the ultimate hope. That's the ultimate hope tonight. And yet, there's a broken reality in our city. So we sit in this tension of recognizing that there is racial tension in our city. But what is the hope? The hope is what I talked about a couple weeks ago if you were here, that in the midst of the brokenness of division and racism in our city, God has called this community, Crossroads, to be a racially reconciled community of grace and truth. And guess what? We will be that. We will be that. So I heard from a couple people on Twitter, and a couple of them I just want to share. This was one that I got from Dennis. It said, first big storm inbound. God called you to race relations in this city, and at this time for a reason. And I want to say that is not personal to me. That's a call to all of you. This is our first big storm. You think that God knew a couple weeks ago? You think that God's surprised by what happened today? You think God's surprised by the brokenness in this world when he had us all recognize we have a call, a gift to receive to be a racially reconciled community of truth in a city that desperately needs it? You think our city needs that right now? You think our city needs to see places like this where people can come at it from different perspectives, but at the end of the night say, we're united under one Jesus, and so therefore you're my brother and you're my sister. You think our city needs that tonight? You think our city needs that tonight? That's us. And it's this grittiness of hope. We are fortified in hope tonight. So yes, absolutely, there's a storm on the horizon. But you know what? I know a God who calms storms. I know a God who calms storms. And he calls us to be reconcilers that step into that storm. So we fortify ourselves in hope tonight. So I just want to remind you of what God said to us as a community a couple weeks ago. I want you to know, even tonight, even in the midst of this, reconciliation is still baked into the mission of God's church. I want you to know that the mission of the church is to take the good news of Jesus to the entire world. And because it's the entire world, racial reconciliation is baked into the mission. God is about all people. He's about the freedom of all people. It's baked into the mission of the church. And we need to still believe that. And I still believe, even more than ever, this is a way that God will get glory in our city. Because I'll tell you something, this division is an unsolvable problem to city officials. It's an unsolvable problem to all the protest groups that are going to be protesting tonight. They can't fix the problem. It's an unsolvable problem for law enforcement. It's an unsolvable problem for our politicians. And the reason is Jesus is the answer to the unsolvable problems in our city. He's the answer. He's the answer. And I told you, it's not just possible, it is inevitable. It is inevitable. At the end of time, when we stand before God, man, it's going to be a cross-cultural love fest. That's what's going to happen at the end of it. That's what it's going to be. And so we said, we get the opportunity to start to model that right now. And that's what it means to be hopeful. And that's why I love what it says in 2 Corinthians 3:12. It says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Friends, it's time for us to be bold reconcilers in our city. It's time for us to be bold. It's time for us to not believe that it's ours to step into the background. We need to be bold reconcilers who say in the midst of the brokenness and division of this city, there's a God who heals and a God who reconciles. And guess what? I'm one of those people. I'm one of his reconcilers. It's time for us to be bold. To be bold. And what boldness looks like, the third way to respond is that we walk in love together. We walk in love together. Ephesians 5:2. It says, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. See, the truth is, there are two kingdoms at war all the time in every circumstance and in every situation in the world. I absolutely believe that there is a kingdom that Satan runs, the kingdom of darkness, or you could call it the kingdom of this world. And there's certain rules of engagement in that kingdom. And those rules of engagement look like hate, they look like judge, they look like divide, they look like violence, they look like oppress, they look like abuse power, they look like not respect authority. Those are the rules of engagement in the kingdom of this world. And friends, I want you to know, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're not a part of that kingdom. So you don't wage war that way. And instead, what we do is we walk in love. See, because the world would say to you tonight, you need to lock your doors and you need to circle your wagons. And I want you to know what Jesus says tonight is open your homes and open your hearts to people who are different from you. That's the way we wage this war. The world would say, hold a grudge until the system gives you everything it deserves for all the times it oppressed you. But Jesus says, I'm telling you to love your enemies and forgive those who spitefully use you. That's the rule of the kingdom of God. That's the rule of the kingdom of God. The way the world would play this is they say, you know what? What happens is their problem. However you define they, it's their problem and it causes you to retreat. But what we say is the division in our city is our problem and we will engage it. That's how we engage this thing. It's a different rule. It's a different playbook. The world will say, watch your back. And we say, walk in love. Walk in love. So what does that look like practically? One of the other tweets I got, I thought was a good question, I thought it was worth answering for everybody. Other than pray, what can we do about the shooting in Mount Auburn? I'm going to get back to the other than pray part in a moment. But what can we do? What can we do? I'm going to give you three practical things that you can do. If you want to be a practical reconciler, if you want to walk out some of this in your own life, I think there's three practical things you can do. The first one is this. Pray for the prosperity of everyone in our city together. Everyone in our city is of invaluable worth to God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? There's a principle in sub-Saharan Africa called Ubuntu. And what it means is, it's seeing the humanness of the other. Ubuntu, it's seeing the humanness of the other. It means I see you. I see you. The truth is, there are people in our city who we don't see. In our brokenness, we don't see them. We don't see the humanness in them. We group them into categories, and we tend to stand back and judge them. And we all have people in those categories. But I'm telling you what, Jesus says this. All people, every person you look at was a person that was worth him dying for. And that's the way we need to see people in our city, and that's the way we need to pray for people in our city. So we should pray for the prosperity of everyone in our city. Intentionally pray for that. The second thing you can do is this. You can work productively for justice in our city together. And I'm not going to give you details on what that looks like. I'll just tell you, there are things that happen in the name of working for justice that I think are not productive. I'm just going to be honest and tell you, I think they're divisive. I think they're short-sighted. I think sometimes other agendas get co-opted in that. And I'm just telling you, I don't want to be about unproductive work for justice. But there are things we can do that are productive and actually do work for justice. And if you don't know what those things are, you need to be willing to engage yourself and be learning about where are people in our city working for justice. There's something called the Amos Project. These are people who are working for justice in our city. There are people who are focusing on things like the preschool promise, which are opportunities to create preschool, which creates opportunities for kids in our city. There are productive ways to work for justice in our city. And there are a million others. CityLink Center is a way to productively work for justice in our city because we know as people get educated and they get co-location of resources, they can move to a different place, which creates different opportunities, which helps to eliminate some of the injustices that they experience in their lives. Who's going to invest in the guys in the prison who need somebody to father them? There are ways to productively work for justice in our city, and I'm encouraging you to be a person who has a reconciler who says, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And the third thing you can do is this. You can fight for unity together in our city. You can fight for unity. You can be a person who says, you know what? I will refuse to play party to things that divide my city. And instead, I'm going to be a person who seeks unity, who seeks to bridge gaps, who spends time with people who are different from me, have different opinions from me, have different circumstances in life than me, because I want to be unified in the city. These are practical things that we can all do. But make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. What I just named are important weapons. But remember, our weapons are unorthodox. And so we're going to do something for the rest of our time tonight that will feel very unorthodox, but quite frankly, I think it's more powerful than everything I just named in terms of bringing about change in our city. Because in 2 Chronicles 7:14, final verse I'll share with you, it says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. How many people believe our land needs to be healed? Our city needs to be healed. And how many of us are willing to say, you know what? And I've been party to some of this division, so I need forgiveness too. I need as we said earlier in the worship set here in Oakley, we need to recognize we're a part of the pool of broken people in the world. And we need God to rescue us. We need him to heal us and deliver us. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to be obedient to this verse. It says if we humble ourselves, we're going to do that tonight as we sing songs that reflect back to God who he is and his power to change the brokenness in our city. We're humbling ourselves before him. We're going to pray together. In a moment, we're going to pray for our city like we have never prayed before for our city. We're going to seek God's face. We're going to seek his direction and what it is that he would call us to coming out of tonight, collectively and individually. We want to turn in his direction. And I believe that is where healing will come. That is where change will come. Because I believe that God redeems, and I believe God reconciles, and I believe he's going to do it in our city, and I believe it's worth the fight. So what I want to encourage you to do at all of our sites, everybody who's listening to this in a community room right now, would you stand up? Would you stand up? And I don't think, we were thinking about this, I don't think in the history of Crossroads we've ever done this before, but I'm actually going to ask everyone in every site to grab hands with the person next to you to bridge the gap across the aisles. We are going to pray together in community. We're going to be united across every site in Florence and in Mason and Westside. Go ahead and grab the hands of the people next to you across in all the rooms right now. And we're going to pray collectively in community together for what God wants to do in our city. You guys up for that?
Yeah.
All right, God, I'm humbled that I get to be in the midst of these people right now. God, in this room and in these rooms and online right now are all kinds of people that I am connected to, and it is crazy that I get to be connected to them, but it's only because of your grace, and it's only because of what Jesus did for us to reconcile us to you that I can be connected to brothers and sisters in these rooms right now. So God, collectively, as your people, we pray for your healing on our city. God, we want to come before you and we want to repent on behalf of our city. We want to turn away from every stronghold of fear and division and racism that has run rampant in our city, God. We want to break agreements with things that have existed in our city for generations that preceded us. God, we want to just say before you tonight, we want all of those things to be out of our city. We want them out. We want you to remove them. We want you to fill the spaces of division in our city with unity. We want you to fill the spaces of brokenness in our city with your healing. We want you to fill the spaces of fear in our city with love. We want you to be God over this city, over this region, in Northern Kentucky, in Eastern Indiana. God, we want you to be in every part of our region, in our city, God. We want you to be God. We want your power on display. We want your love and grace to reign. We want your rule and power to show up in amazing ways. God, we stand tonight and we grieve with families that are impacted by this incident, but also we stand and grieve with families that have been impacted by all kinds of incidents in our city of violence, God. We pray that you would come against violence in our city with your grace and with your love and with your power. We pray that you would restore order. We pray that you would, God, be a God of peace in our city. God, we need your hope to just infuse our city. And God, we pray for that together. God, we stand together as people who call on you, who've been rescued by you, who've been reconciled back to you. And we say, God, we want your kingdom in our city. We want more of your kingdom on display in Cincinnati. We want more of the Christ-like, Jesus-loving, Holy Spirit-filled kingdom operating in every structure, every institution in our city. We want it in our higher institutions of education. We want it in our medical system. We want it in our legal system. We want it in our churches, God. We want it in our schools. We want it in every realm of society, God. We want you to reign. We want you to rule. We want your power to be put on display. And Jesus, you gave us a prayer, and it sounds like a simple prayer, but it is a powerful prayer. And right now, as thousands of us together pray the prayer that you gave us to pray, Lord, I know that you are moving. So we pray collectively as one body, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever. And all of God's people together said, amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. God, we bless you in this moment. We bless you, God. Just proclaim your lordship over our city in this moment, God. Glory be to God. You can be seated. You can be seated. And in all of our sights, we're going to humble ourselves before the powerful God we just prayed to. And we're expecting him to do incredible things both tonight and in the days to come and in the years to come in our city. So at all of our sites, as you worship, again, thank you for being with us tonight.
Anybody ever had God love you through a tragedy?
Yeah.
Anybody ever seen God bring hope in the midst of hopelessness?
Amen. Yes.
Anybody ever been in the midst of a storm in the middle of darkness and you just heard a tiny voice saying, just follow me through this?
Yes.
I have.
Amen.
Oh God, we trust in you. We trust in your excellence. We trust in your power and your love. Thank you that you hold on to power and love together. You're the perfect King. Saints. Of racism in the city of Cincinnati.
Yes. Yes. Woo!
In the name of Jesus, because you're on turf that's given to us, we oppose spirit of division in this city.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Jesus' name.
We speak against accusation in this city.
Jesus' name.
We speak against judgmentalism in this city.
Yes.
We speak against class division in this city.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, we cast down rejection over this city.
Yes.
Again, I'm starting right up here on this stage.
Yes.
And I'm speaking that over this room. In the name of Jesus, we oppose every spirit of rejection in this city.
Yes. Amen.
We oppose rejection. Through our worship, we prophetically lay down a red carpet for Jesus to ride in on.
Yeah.
We believe your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, Lord, and it's our only hope.
Yep.
We join our voices with eternal voices through the ages, which speak your praise.
Yeah.
We remind ourselves that we're part of a story that you're writing that goes beyond all ages. Want to throw our hat into the ring. Let's sing it again, all the saints. Sing it with some grit. I want some guts.
Yeah.
All the saints.
All the saints.
You are worthy of it all.
grab somebody's hand near you. Let's sing it.
You are worthy of it all.
Let's bind ourselves together.
You are worthy of it all.
Yes.
For from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the
this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Go forth, love on our city. Let's be reconcilers together to a king who is worthy of it all. Thank you guys for being here. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.